begins to resemble Christ. And my examples were the Samaritan woman at the well, the Apostle Paul and Stephen. And so today is part two of transformation. And last week we read Romans 12:2 in the NIV version. And today I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation because it's a little easier to understand. The NIV talks about renewing our mind. Well, I don't really use those words, renewing our mind, unless I'm quoting the Bible. And so just let's look at it from this other translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And I want to focus on the words, let God transform you. God is the one that creates the new creation. We cannot do it ourselves. You know, I look back in my life, and years ago, if I could have solved or fixed my own anger problem, I would have. And in fact, I tried. You know, I read little self-help books. I tried to, like, find joy on my own and not to dwell on negativity. But the change was initiated by God. And so that day that God said, I am taking your anger from you, that was God saying that. It's initiated by God and not by human effort. Meaning, that God does the work, but then after that, we daily have to choose whether we're going to stay on that same path or not. So let's look at Titus 2, and that tells us that God, or that Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for him a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So that says Christ is purifying us. And back to those words, let God transform you. God taught me a couple years ago that I can't deliver someone from an evil spirit unless that person agrees that they want to be delivered. You can pray for them in Jesus' name, but if they don't want deliverance, it will not happen. So a similar experience is in John 5. And there was a man who had been disabled for 38 years. And he's laying beside the pool called Bethesda. And Jesus walks up to him and asks, do you want to get well? So we see that Jesus doesn't assume that he wants to get well just because of his location, of where he's at. And this pool of Bethesda was a healing pool. That's where people went. So not every addict in a recovery center wants to be healed. They can be at a treatment center for many different reasons, like that it's court ordered or their family insisted that they go there. But maybe they don't want to get transformed and have a new life. Many people have to hit rock bottom and become so very desperate before they call on the name of Jesus and ask for transformation. You know, and similarly, not every person that's in a hospital believes that they can even be healed. And maybe they don't even want to be healed. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to allow God to transform us? Are we willing to give up the past and become new? And sometimes it's very hard to give up the past. Remember the story of Lot's wife? Lot and his wife and his two daughters, they were in the city of Sodom, which is nearby a town called Gomorrah. And these two cities were so full of sin that God is sending two angels to destroy them both by raining down burning sulfur on them. And the angels allowed Lot and his family to flee, but Lot's wife, she looks back, and then she becomes a pillar of salt. Now, this is what I think this story means for us today. When God removes us from a sinful life and brings us to something new, transforming us, we can't look back on that old life with fondness. If a person, for example, if a person was deep into drugs and alcohol and worldly pleasures, and God moves them out of that sin and makes them a new creation, they can't keep looking back. On those days with fondness and retelling stories to glorify that time. We can be forgiven and transformed, but we can return to our old ways. And that's why Jesus tells the woman who was found, she had committed adultery. And he tells her to go and sin no more. Because after forgiveness and transformation, we have to choose daily if we're going to stay on the path set before us or if we're going to go back to our old path. So we've talked a lot about Paul last week. Could Paul have chosen to give up after he was beaten and put in jail? Could he have said, I don't want to be on this path? I believe he could have. We have free will. But his encounter with Jesus and his transformation was so powerful that he stayed on the path that Jesus had set him on, no matter the personal cost. Paul writes to Timothy in a letter in 2 Timothy 4. And so this is when he's nearing the end of his life. The time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also to all of those who have longed for his appearance. So, Paul is saying he has stayed the course. He has finished that race that was set before him. And at some point, we must choose between our old life and our new life. And God deserves the glory for what he does in our life. And in 1 Timothy 1, Paul gives a short testimony. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And for this very reason, I was shown mercy so that to me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. To God be the honor and glory forever. Are we willing to follow Jesus even when it's difficult? I believe now that we live in difficult days, where it's difficult to be a Christian, and the end days are coming near. And in that letter that Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, it says this, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around a great number of teachers to say to their itching ears what they want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to miss. Remember that the transformation God does in your life is used to serve and teach others. It humbles us, and then it begins to build us up for his kingdom. In Psalms 51:17, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." A humble and repentant heart is what God desires. Rather than focusing on the failure that we've done, God looks at the posture of our heart after we've failed. If we are humble and contrite, that is seen as great potential in God's eyes, because that means that we are ready for his restoration and his grace. And that brings me to Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent, and Lent is the 40 days, excluding Sundays, that leads us up to Easter. Lent is a time of reflection on what God has done, and this day is marked with somberness as Christians all over the world reflect on their mortality, their sinfulness and need for a Savior, and dying of self that comes with a new life in Christ. And some Christians give up something for Lent as their personal version of a fast. Some Catholics give up meat on Fridays. Some people give up sugar. Some people give up their fancy coffee drink, and the money that they would have spent on that, they use and they give that to a charity, to a mission, or to a neighbor in need. Some people give up social media for that time. And a spiritual discipline of Lent is to prepare us for Easter by imitating Jesus' sacrifice in the desert. It serves as a time of repentance and reflection and a deepening of one's faith. By removing something during this time, people create space to prioritize their relationship with God. You know, sometimes our life gets so busy, we need to stop and say, "God, you come first." Now, if this is new to you and you want to read about Jesus' 40 days in the desert where he fasted and he was tempted by the devil before his public ministry began, you can read that this week in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. It's also found in Mark and Luke, because this time of Lent, it also really looks at God's testing in the desert and those 40 days. And the reason I bring this up to you today is that if you want to dedicate something in your life during Lent or remove something, you should pray about it before you do that. You should ask God to lead you to do something that's actually meaningful to you. This isn't just a tradition that we do. It's an intentional time to draw closer to God. And if you choose not to fast something, that's also okay. That's between you and God, and let God lead you in that. Anyone who wants to meet up on Wednesday will be here at this at 7:15 in the morning, and they can receive ashes on their foreheads in the form of a cross. And it's just a quiet service of prayer and reflection. It's not going to be very long. And the ashes are made up of the burning of palm leaves. And that's in remembrance of Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday before Easter, where Jesus was going to ride into Jerusalem on the donkey, and people had palm leaves, and they were saying Hosanna to God in the highest. And so that's where the ashes come from. And so if you see people with ashes on Wednesday out and about in town, that's what it's about. Many Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, and other denominations observe Ash Wednesday. But I want to end this message about transformation in this way. Following Jesus should impact your life in a huge way. People should be able to notice that there's something different about you. And we talked about that last week. Being a Christian is not that we're just following the religion that was told to us by our parents or our mentors. To follow Jesus, there is a cost, but there's also an eternal reward. And we have to surrender to follow Jesus, and we can be transformed. Think of the story of the rich young ruler who asked Jesus what he could do to get eternal life. And see, the young ruler asked, "What can I do to receive eternal life?" instead of asking what Jesus could do. And so Jesus' response to him was, "Well, you could follow the law." Okay, that wasn't the actual words, but that's what I gathered from it. And the young man knew that something would still be missing. And so Jesus told him, "Sell your possessions, give to the poor, and come follow me." Now, Jesus didn't say those words to every single person that wanted to follow him. But Jesus knew that he had put his possessions and power and money in a higher priority than Jesus. And so that's what Jesus asked him to surrender. What do you need to surrender to follow Jesus and have a new life? Are you willing to say yes if Jesus asks you, "Do you want to be well?" Prepare your hearts to receive what Jesus has for you and be willing to give your testimony that brings glory to God. And so that's what we're thinking about during this Lent season. Is there something in my life that I, if I gave up, I would focus more on Jesus and what Jesus has for me and what he has done for me? If you have a testimony that comes up during this time, please let me know, because I would love to hear it. I want to know what God is doing in your life in a real and powerful way. These aren't just words and traditions that we go through. It's God walking with us each and every day and transforming us and making us new creations to be something that can be used by him. And I think with that, I am going to end. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.